Turn to Hebrews chapter 8. You thought I was kidding. Hebrews chapter 8. All my big print scripture. I like it. I'm having fun with my computer. Look at Hebrews chapter 8 and beginning at verse 1. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We thank you that we're going to a glory land and Amen. That the blood washed are going to come there. Amen. And we're thankful for your mercy and grace and your great salvation. I pray, dear Father, that you will help me to preach clearly and in the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would touch lives, that anyone here that's lost, that they would desire and come to know you as Savior and Lord. That every one of us as Christians would be drawn to live for you better.
Yes, amen.
Give me a freedom and ease that only you can give. And I'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hebrews is a very interesting book. And I love teaching it. I've taught it through several times. And always a blessing. And you know, when you're looking at something, sometimes things just stand out to give you an outline. Look at this phrase, this is the sum. He's saying everything I've said to you for the first seven chapters about Jesus being better than Moses, better than Aaron, better than all the priests, better than the law, better than everything. And then he comes down to chapter 7 and he starts talking about his unchangeable priesthood. Tremendous. And then he says, now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Hey, pay attention. This is the sum. We got it all added up for you right here. This is the sum. We have such a high priest. I've been telling you about all these things. It has to be better than this. And how these even very good priests couldn't continue because of death? Well, let me tell you what. We got one unchangeable priesthood. He'll never die.
Amen.
And we have that high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. Actually, I am preaching. I just had to show that to you. That's a good outline how you can learn that. If you just pay attention when you're studying Bible books, especially Paul, he will give you all sorts of clues to what he's talking about and how you can get it clearly. But I don't want to talk about heaven. Heaven. You know, I don't think we get enough preaching on heaven. I'm sure we don't get enough preaching on hell. And both of them, they're places. Now, some people think that it's a state of mind. Heaven's a state of mind. Hell's a state of mind. No, 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 no. Some people think your heaven is right here. If you live right, God gives you a heaven right here and all the happiness of this life and whatever. And others believe that if you're real bad, well, God gives you your hell right here. But let me tell you something, friend. If you're saved today by the blood of Jesus Christ, the closest you'll ever be to hell is right here. And if you're lost, you will not trust Christ as your Savior. The closest to heaven you'll ever get is right here.
Amen.
But let me say that there is a real place called heaven. And notice how he describes it there. He said, the throne of the majesty in the heavens, and this high priest is on the right-hand side of it. On the right-hand side of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. And then look, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. Remember that tabernacle they carried around through Moses all his time until finally Solomon built him a building? That wasn't the original. That was a copy. God has the original in heaven, and he's the one that pitched it. Heaven is a place. There's a place out here, and I want to talk to you several things about heaven and it being a place. There is a place out there right now. It's called heaven, and it's in the heaven of heavens. And right there is a throne of Almighty God, and Jesus Christ, as the great high priest, is interceding for you today.
Amen.
And there's a tabernacle there, very similar to the one that we can see and read about in the Bible, but it's the true tabernacle, and it wasn't pitched by any men. It was pitched by God. Now look at 2 Chronicles 2:5. Solomon, David's son, God prepared to be a great builder. And evidently he's one of the greatest builders that the world's ever seen. Very tremendous. Very rich. Very powerful. Look at 2 Chronicles 2:5. And the house which I build is great. For great is our God above all gods. But who is able to build him a house? Seeing the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain him. Who am I then that I should build him a house, save only to burn sacrifice before him? Solomon knew what he was talking about. Now, there are a lot of people in the world that believe the building is, this is the church. Well, no, this is a church building. It's just a building. There's nothing special or spiritual about this. Even if we had stained glass crosses coming down from the back up here. Even if we had pictures of Mary and Joseph all around the thing here. And if we had 4 or 5 crosses sitting up here on a platform. It's just a building. You know what the church is? The people.
Amen.
You're the church.
Amen.
Indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. That's Christ in you. That's your hope of glory. He said right here, who is able to build him a house? God is so big. Can you imagine how big God is? He said the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. I don't know how big God is, but that's pretty big. I love astronomy. I love this Hubble telescope. I love the pictures they have brought back. I've got them in the house. I watch them every so often. Somebody just gave me a book with some of the same pictures on it. I just got to looking through it this week again. Wow. And that's millions of light years out there. The more I look at creation, the more I look at what God has done, the bigger God gets to me. Not the bigger science gets, the bigger God gets. Who is able to build him a house? God can't fit in your house. He's too big. God can't fit on your little idol rack. God can't fit on your dashboard.
Amen.
God can't fit on a little cross around your neck. He's too big. He's too big. And he's spiritual. Solomon said, I'm building a house for a great God, and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. So what am I doing? I'm building him a house save only to burn sacrifice before him. What's my house for? To worship. What's my house for? Give him praise. What's my house for? That we can gather and teach his word. We can gather and preach the gospel. That we can gather and learn something. That we can gather and be spiritual, have some friendship and fellowship. It's just a building. We don't have a building that could contain God. We don't have a building that God is impressed by.
Amen.
Now, you may be impressed. I have gone to cities and they say, oh, come look at our tabernacle. And I've gone. I've seen the Marvin Tabernacles, big city. I mean, it's a big building, fancy stuff. I've been to see some really great Catholic churches that are just covered in gold. There's no building to contain him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, where does God live? He lives in heaven. It is a place in heaven. Look, if you will, at Leviticus 1:11. Now, wondering where in the world is heaven? Most of the time, whenever you look in the Bible, heaven is up and hell is down. And I believe that's true. But there's also another thing. Have you ever thought about the one direction God has given us? God gave us north. How do you know what south is? Well, it's the opposite of north. How do you know what east is? Well, it's to the right of north. How do you know what west is? Well, it's left. What do you have is just one direction. It's north. The one direction, land or sea, throughout all of history, men have guided themselves over oceans and over lands by north, that one north star. Well, look, isn't this interesting? Leviticus 1:11, and he shall kill it on the side of the altar, talking about a sacrifice, northward before the Lord. Northward before the Lord. And the priest Aaron's son shall sprinkle his altar round about upon the altar. Look at Isaiah 14:13. And this is talking about the devil, Lucifer, and what he said in his heart. But I said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. It's interesting, just interesting. It's no big deal. If you want to believe heaven's in the south, that's all right with me. But I think the Bible several times lets us know it's northward. And as I understand, if you look out past that north star, there's a hole. And it just keeps on going. As this universe out here expands. Wow. What a tremendous thing. He said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You could also look at Psalm 75:6. And that'll tell you promotion cometh neither from the east, nor the west, nor the south, but the north. But the Lord. Not from the east, or the west, or the south, but from the Lord. That's where the promotion comes. It's from the north. And there's some other things like that, but I'll tell you what I think. Heaven is a place, and it's way out there north. It's what I see in the Scripture. Well, what kind of place is this heaven? Look at Hebrews 12:22. Hebrews 12:22. Excuse me. I've been trying to breathe for 75 years. I just have to work at it. Hebrews 12:22. We're talking about the kind of place heaven is. Do you want to go there? Well, let's find out what kind of place it is. Maybe you don't want to go there. I know some people that think, well, if heaven's like the Bible says, I don't want to go there. Well, you probably won't. You won't be disappointed. Hebrews 12:22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. He's not talking about over there in Israel. This is the heavenly Jerusalem. It's a city of the living God to an innumerable company of angels. Have you ever seen an angel? As far as I know, I never have. Maybe I've entertained a few unawares and I didn't know I was entertaining angels, but I don't think I ever. But he's coming to a city that's got so many you can't number them. Wow, what a place. Would you like to go there? To the city of the living God? The heaven of Jerusalem to an innumerable company of angels. Look at verse 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. I'll tell you what, I got saved and I lost most of my friends. Really did. I was friendly, had a lot of friends, had a good time. Well, I had to make new ones. But bless your heart, I've been making friends now 54 years. And friends I'm going to spend eternity with. I have known some of the finest people the world's ever known. I mean, I have stood out at the table. I've been fed by some saints of God. I've been supported and helped and prayed for. Man, I have a group of friends, and I'm thankful. I really am. How about when we get friends in heaven together? I remember a time I was still a young evangelist. And I went to the evangelistic meeting in Dallas. And I wasn't anybody big. Nobody knew me. Didn't know my name. And I got in there and finally got my seat in the nosebleed. section. Way back up there. Bertie wasn't with me. The kids weren't with me. Just me. And I'm way back up there in the nosebleed seats. And I got these great preachers down here. Man, there's 10,000 people in there anyway. And I listened to them preach. I enjoyed them. But when that congregation of 10,000 people got up to sing Amazing Grace, I just broke out crying. Amazing grace that could save a wretch like me. What is it going to be like when the saints of God on glory land begin to sing the songs of Zion? That's where I'm headed. I'm headed to a place where they sing the old hymns. I'm sorry, I don't think they're going to have any rock up there. I know some of you are going to be real disappointed me in that. And you'll leave the church today because that old man, I am old. You got to cut me some slack because I am old. I don't like a lot of the new things. I don't have an iPhone. If I had one, I wouldn't Twitter you. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. Wow! I'm going to walk into the presence of Almighty God, God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. What a statement! I love all of you and all of your sorry rascals. You're just this selfish, self-centered, covetous. What about when we all get made perfect? Amen. Some of you say, well, we sure would like to see you perfect. I know you would. I understand that real well. They've been telling me how much I'm too much all of my life. Too loud, too long, too big, too fat. Too much. How about to the spirits of just men made perfect? That's the kind of assembly I'm going to. That's where I'm headed. I'm headed to a place where I won't ever misunderstand anybody.
Amen.
I'm headed to a place that I won't hurt somebody's feelings when I'm not meaning to. I'm headed for a place where just men, justified men, have been made perfect, and they're there in their perfection. What kind of fellowship will that be?
Amen.
You're never going to run out of it. Have you ever been having really a good time with somebody and just keeps on going and your wife says, I got to go to bed? That's my wife. She always needed sleep and there were certain hours she had to go to bed. Now, Bonnie, she used to sit up and salute the flag. In the old days, when the TV went off at midnight or 12:30, they saluted the flag and played national anthem or something. But not my wife. No, no. But I tell you what, we're going to be where we're going to fellowship, and we're going to fellowship with godly men made perfect. Wow. That sounds like a good place to me.
Amen.
Sounds like a place I want to go. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now look at verse 24. And to Jesus. Not only just men made perfect, I'm going to fellowship with Jesus. That tickle you? It tickles me. The mediator of the new covenant. Praise God for this new covenant. And the blood of sprinkling speaketh better things than that of Abel. Turn to Revelation 21:1. Revelation 21:1. This old earth has been cursed. God's going to make a new one. That's what it says right here.
Amen.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega. That's the beginning and the end.
Amen.
I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Wow. I've done a lot of visiting in hospitals in the last 54 years. Never anything I like to do. I don't like hospitals. People die there. People are sick there. I don't like to be in them myself. But you know what? He said, There shall be no more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. That's going to pass away. Hey, that sounds good to me. I tell you what, you get in pain enough, you'll wish for heaven. Oh, a whole lot of us think, I'm just enjoying life and going through life. Boy, it's great. It's a wonderful thing. Hope you do. But boy, let pain come your way. Let sorrow and disappointment come your way. We're going to a place there will be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more troubles. And God will dwell with us, with men, and they shall be His people and He shall be their God. God's going to acknowledge those that are there as His people. And the people there are going to say, You're my God. What a fellowship. What a place. Sounds good to me. And by the way, he said, I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of life freely. How about that great water? You here today and you're thirsty? I remember one time I got thirsty. And man, when I opened up my mouth and went to the Lord and confessed my sin, he poured the water of life down in my soul.
Amen.
And you know it's still bubbling. Not as high as it used to. I'm sorry about that. I wish it were bubbling a little higher, but it's still bubbling. I've got a stream down inside me. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Now, I've got some personal requests. I've got some personal things to me that the Bible shows that I think are great about heaven, what I'm looking forward to. One of them is Matthew 6:20. Matthew 6:20. It says, But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through or steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, the verse before says, Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Well, I think I actually have treasures on earth. I got a tremendous library of books. One man came out to the house one time, I don't know what he was selling, but he looked up and he said, I've never seen so many Bibles in all my life. Because I have all the versions, you know, there's version after version of the Bible. I have read them, but I don't read them anymore. I just use the old King James and I use them to fight somebody who gives me a hard time. But I got a bunch of them. I've got books. Good night. I've got a boat I love. It's just too much work to take it out now. I've got guns. I love to shoot. What do you have? You got a house full of clothes. You got one car, two cars, three cars. You got a beautiful garage that is full of stuff besides a car. And do you know what? They might be robbing my house right now. I'd lose every gun, lose every book. Lose my great big television. I know you guys will pick on me for that. I like television. You can turn it on for me. It's all right. Do you know what? Anything you've got here can be taken away from you.
Amen.
Just recently, a faithful wife, almost 60 years. Well, it was her turn. Taken away. So now, there's Johnny with a loss. You can lose so much here. But what he says right here, I'm going to go take you to a place where you can lay up treasures. That'll be there forever. Nobody will ever steal them. They'll never rust. I've had some beautiful things that I neglected and rusted them out. And it really makes me mad because I try to take care of most things that I have. But lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. But he does say, lay up yourselves treasures. Lay up for yourselves treasures. Where? In heaven. How are you going to do that? You're going to do that by supporting the gospel. If you are so stingy that you live on 100% of everything you get plus all the credit cards they'll let you have, and you don't have any money for missions, any money for pastors, any money for a church, you're living a very selfish life and you're building nothing.
Amen.
You're building nothing. Now, I think it's very wise for people to save a certain amount of their income. And in the last few years, there are people that saved for 30 years, and they had a great big 401k, and they were planning on retiring, and by now, they got nothing. Won't happen up here. I want to put myself into something that's eternal. I know there are a lot of good things we can do. We could get shoes for the shoeless, and we could get clothes for those that need clothes. We could give food to the hungry, and those are a lot of good things to do. Don't get me wrong. And many, many Christians are doing those kinds of things. What we do here is a little different. Almost all of our money is put into the preaching of the Word of God. We give a few little things to charity and whatever, but most of what we do, the greatest percentage of the money that comes into the church and has come in for 30 years goes to missions or preaching. You know what? If I put shoes on their feet and a good meal in their belly and a nice shirt on their back and they die and go to hell, what good did I do?
Amen.
But if I take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and offend them by preaching it to them to their face and telling their religion will send them to hell, what they need is Jesus and Jesus only, then some of them are going to get saved and spend eternity with us. And my Bible says one soul is worth more than the whole world. We put our money into the preaching of the gospel. And I believe that's a treasure in heaven. It's not here. Those people in Mexico, those 25 or 30 churches down there, they don't pay my salary. They don't buy any gas for my car. They don't even come up and pat me on the back and say, hey, Brother Lindell, that was a good message. See, you should do that. But if you don't do it, Brother Lindell, that was good preaching. Amen. I can do it. You ought to lay some treasures up. That's why I'd never tell anybody to give at the last to God. You always give God the first. Because if most of you is poor, as my wife and I have been most of our lives, we didn't have any money left at the end of the month. We had more month than we had money. And so if we were going to give to God, it had to be at the first.
Amen.
At the first. Give God the first fruits. Lay up some treasures in heaven. I don't think I'm going to be rich in heaven. I don't even know that the devil knows my name. But I tell you what, God does. And he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Are you doing it? Well, they can't steal it, and it won't rust. And it'll put your heart there. There's another thing I'm interested in. It's John 17:24. John chapter 17, verse 24. I think something that's going to bring me great satisfaction. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I'm looking forward to being with Jesus. I've never met him personally. Oh, I've read a lot about him in the scriptures. I've talked to him a whole lot. I've seen his blessing come upon my life. But I want to be with him where he is. I'm going to his place. I'm going to his house. I'm going to fellowship with Jesus. Oh, yeah, I want to see Moses. I want to see Daniel. I want to see David. There's a lot of people I want to see. I want to go talk to Spurgeon. Now, that's not the evangelist coming next January, but got the same name. I want to be with Jesus. Where He is, that's where I want to be. Now look at Luke chapter 20 and verse 36. Another one of my personal things. Luke chapter 20, verse 36. I talk about death a lot. And I never thought I'd live as long as I have. That is the honest truth. I have way lived past my expectations. But it says, Luke 20, verse 36, neither can they die anymore. For they're equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now I'm going to die. Might be today, might be 10 years from now. I have no clue. But you know what? I'm looking for a place where I won't have to look forward to death. Verlene and I have an argument as to which one goes first. And I tell her, I must die before her. I have never filled out an income tax form in my life. We got married at 18. And she's fussing at me now because she didn't want to fill out the income tax. Trying to give it to me at 75. I tell her, no, you don't get to retire. Neither can they die anymore. They're equal unto the angels. Hey, that's a promotion.
Amen.
I like that big angel puts one foot on the land and the other one on the sea and says, time shall be no more. That's a big angel. Let me tell you, that's a big angel. Equal unto the angels and are the children of God. You know, sometimes you know you're a child of God because the Bible tells you so. You know you're a child of God because you know God lives inside your heart. But oh, sometimes you don't feel it.
Amen.
Sometimes you don't sense how close it really is to be a child of God. You don't realize your exalted state. You will hear. Equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Look at Psalm 17:15. Psalm 17:15. This is a good verse. You ought to mark it. Very last verse of the Psalm. It's one of my favorites. And this particular verse is one of my favorites. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I'm going to look like Jesus. Oh, yeah, laugh at me. Pick on me because of my fat. Yeah. Pick on me because I'm old and bald. And pick on me because I'm going to look like Jesus.
Amen.
33 and a half years old. Wow. Forever. Wow. Not going to die anymore. Not going to get old anymore. Not going to get weak anymore. Not going to have any sickness anymore. Not going to have a bunch of trials and troubles anymore. I shall be satisfied when I awake with the likeness of God. And that's what He promises. That's what He promises. Now look at Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9. This verse, when I first read it, staggered me years ago. About 54 years ago. This verse just staggered me. Look at verse 9. Revelation 19, 9 and 10. And He saith unto me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. This is the Apostle John, the closest friend of Jesus on the face of the earth. I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. John's been going through Revelation. Here's this man, what he considers an angel, or he considers Jesus. And he's telling him these different things and showing him these different things. And he's such awe that he falls down to worship. Now, John didn't fall down to worship anybody but Jesus. John wouldn't have fallen down and worshiped an idol.
Amen. Amen.
He wouldn't have fallen down and worshiped an angel. You know what this guy looked like? Looked like Jesus. John couldn't tell the difference. And he said, wow, and he falls down to worship. And he said, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. Now, I don't know who this guy was, but he's like you and me. He was a human being that got saved and walking around in glory, dressed up in Jesus duds. I am thy fellow servant. You're going to look like Jesus. You're not going to look like you look today. You're not going to look like you could look if the best plastic surgeons worked on you. You're going to look like Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Look at Revelation 22:8. Does it again. Revelation 22:8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God.
Amen.
Wow. Here's an Old Testament prophet. Could have been John the Baptist. Might have been Isaiah. Might have been Jeremiah. It might have been somebody we'd never heard his name. But I want you to know he's walking up, dressed around, looks just like Jesus, looks so much like Jesus that John again falls down at the feet of this angel that's been showing him these wonderful things. He knew just to worship God. That just tells you what your future's like. Are you saved? That's your future. I don't care. The very least, you know, they got a song, some of these, I like some of these old hillbilly songs, I really do, and there's one of them called, Just Build Me a Cabin in the Corner of Glory Land. There are no cabins in heaven. It might sound real good, it's a pretty peppy song, Lord, just build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land, you know, I'll just be happy up there, over back in the back corner. There are no cabins in Glory Land. They're only mansions. You talk about condos. Wow. There's going to be some condominiums up there. Now let me ask you something. Are you going to heaven?
Amen.
I'm going, and I know it.
Amen.
If you don't know it, would you like to go?
Amen.
I'm talking to just as straight and honest as I know how to make it. Would you like to go? What I've read to you today is the Word of God. It's clear and it's true. Would you like to go? You can. You can't go if you're going to try to be good enough to go. Nobody's good enough to go. Bible says all of us are sinners. Well, some of us are more sinners than others. Some of us are less sinners than others, but we're all sinners.
Amen.
We still got all that problem there, and only the blood of Jesus Christ can take care of that. If you will believe the gospel that Christ died for your sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to Scriptures, and that if you will call upon Him and repent of your sins, He'll save your soul. Today, right now, He will save your soul. He did me 54 years ago, sitting way back at the back of a church. But oh, God touched my heart, and I went home, and I asked the Lord to save me. He did. And you may not like what He's done, but I'm sure tickled with what He's done so far. You can be saved today. Today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
My Bible says now is the accepted time. You can call upon Him in your seat where you are right now and say, oh Lord, I realize I'm a wicked sinner, and if I die today, I'll go to hell. But if You will take me, if You'll have mercy upon me, if You'll save me, He will. He will. Man came to Him one time and said, Lord, You can heal me if You will. He said, I will. And the man went away healed.
Amen.
I will. He'll give you the water of life freely. Let's pray for a minute. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word.
Amen.
Thank you for the promises in this book.
Amen.
Thank you for the opportunity to preach them one more time. I ask you to touch hearts and lives that are here. If there's someone here that's not saved, I pray, Lord, they'd get saved. And if some of us are here and being careless in our life, may we recognize, Lord, what you have for us and begin to live for you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number just as I am. I think it's 249. Let's stand. This altar is open. The invitation's open. If you're not saved, you can come and call upon the Lord and be saved. You're a Christian, you can come here and deal with God. Let Him straighten out things that might be in your life. This altar is open for whatever need you may have. Let's just sing it through. God, speak to your heart today. Let Him have His way. Sing out that next verse. You hear, without Christ, Christ can save your soul today. His blood can remove all spots. Will you come?